Right. Call the meeting to order. 6 o'clock. Citizens' comments. Do we have any citizens that would like to comment?
6:30.
6:30.
Pardon?
6:30.
Did I say 6? Oh, 6:30. I was just reading the minutes.
I thought it was late.
It's 6 somewhere.
Okay, 6:30. Any citizens' comments? Seeing no citizens' comments, everybody is in attendance, except Kate Guru, right? Mm-hmm. Did she call or anything?
No. Okay.
Well, approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Arrington to approve the minutes. Any additions or corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. On the agenda now, first we have a Brookside report on the says on state survey results, mm-hmm. right?
Whoa.
Yeah, mine was.
Yeah. Kind of tipped back.
It's a test. Which, you know.
April Fools.
It's the core body workout.
Exactly. You know the test.
Okay. I'm sorry that I have to come back, but last time we had a meeting, totally forgot to tell you the rest of the news about the entire survey. There's two parts to our state survey. One is the health one, and that's the one that gives us a 5-star rating. That's the one that we scored perfect on. And then there's another part that doesn't count for any ratings or anything like that, but it's still, if they find anything wrong, they have to be corrected. And that's the engineering survey. And normally, we get 2, 3, 4 sites. The engineer is very picky. This year we got a new engineer that comes from the hospital, and I think he gave us 17 sites to start out with and said it was the best survey he's done so far. We appealed some of them and won. But the reason I wanted to bring it to the committee and let you know, everything's been corrected. I mean, like some of the things, some like fireproofing was missing. He goes above the ceiling to find this, takes the ceiling tiles out. We have about 100,000 square feet over there, so it's quite a space. But any penetrations, there might have been some fireproofing missing, so we'd have to put some kind of compound on. Joints, there's some lentils that they found. They were never fireproof to start out since the building was built. But new engineer, and he's, you know, said that we have to fireproof it, so we did, with some kind of foam stuff that we put on. All of this stuff, by the way, was since the building was built. The latches on the bathroom doors, we have a separate lock. You go into the bathroom, and then you have a separate lock, and it says it's occupied. We had to take it off because you have 2 actions to open the door. Exit signs in the kitchen. He wanted extra exit signs. And again, like I said, this is all stuff that was since the day the building was built and a new engineer. And the main thing is that in the ceiling, when you lift the, there's a way to get into the attic through one of our storage rooms. And in the attic, there was some pretty significant structural defects that were not built correctly. There's access panels through different fire compartments, and some of them were just loose. So we, and especially Ray Arbert, really worked with us on this, and we got back to the actual builder of the facility, and the facility is no longer under warranty anymore, but the builder is standing behind it saying this is our mistake and we're going to correct it, and it will be at no charge except for the actual cost of putting these doors in, these access panels, which will be, you know, a couple $100 a door, something like that. It's not a significant cost to us. So we're real happy that he's doing that. We have told the state that we will have that corrected by September, and we're on schedule to do that. You know, there had to be some approval from the state on what kind of fireproofing you're going to use again, stuff like that. So we're on schedule for that. The other thing I wanted to bring up is during the investigation or during his survey, like I said, he takes random ceiling tiles out. And above the ceiling tile is a gypsum board. And there's drywall screws.
Drywall what?
Screws. To screw the drywall in. This engineer believes that the drywall screws should have been double mudded and taped. And we actually appealed his ruling, and we won the appeal because, this is my opinion, he cited the wrong code because he's not a nursing home engineer, he's a hospital engineer, and when he goes through a hospital, they get 400 or 500 sites, you know, it's just, so he cited the wrong code, so the state said, yeah, you're wrong, you know, this is the wrong code. Next year, when they come back, my guess is that, and in my experience, the engineer, they always look at their notes, and they're going to review their notes and say, I know the right code to cite for this. So our intention is to repair this, to cover those drywall screws throughout the facility and make it right. And the builder, again, it's hard to tell because we have not, and the Ray Arvin's been tracking it, we've all been trying to track it down. Was it spec'd out? Did the architect say it should be this way? You know, and we could not come up with anything. Building Brookside, I guess, was not handled the way we built current buildings, and there was a separate person hired to be the owner's rep, and there's no records whatsoever that we can get from saying that this was supposed to be drywall, mudded, and so. But our intention is to repair it, nevertheless, and we're just waiting, again, the C.G. Schmidt, that's the people who are doing this, said that they would do it at cost, so we would have to pay for the material and stuff. And so I do have a budget item in this year's budget that I have on hold in case that's something that we're going to have to use to pay for that expense. So.
Supervisor Gentz is first.
Were any of the 17 violations things that we did at Brookside? Or was it all structural?
No, it's all engineering stuff. One of them was he didn't like our sign that was in front of a fire extinguisher. So we ordered a new sign. In our electrical panels, we have, you know, the electrical boxes throughout the units. They get changed. We add circuits. We add outlets, and they weren't exactly correct. So, I mean, before he even left that day, we had it all corrected.
The labeling.
But it doesn't matter. Huh?
Labeling on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what.
So, though, I would say those are things that was our, you know, we should have had it corrected. But the rest was all structural.
Okay.
Like I said, it was there since we were built.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you plan on going through and finding every screw? Just
we have to
for my.
All of them.
Hmm?
You got
to
go up in the attic and get them.
I
wonder how many there are.
Well, every piece of drywall has so many screws.
Right, there's got to be like 20 million screws.
What
in
ends
there.
Up happening when heat impinges on something, it tends to draw it to the metal first and then weakens it, and then the whole ceiling can come down by doing that. That's the code, but. As she stated, it's a hospital code. And nursing homes and hospitals, I don't know what the similarities are, but we're going to be ahead of the game, like she said, and take care of it before he comes back. So we have to worry about it.
Do you have any estimate on what all these costs are going to be, even though we have it in the budget?
What Ray was going to do, and I haven't heard back from him if this has occurred, we were going to try and do a sample to see, take the ceiling out in this particular room, take the ceiling out, and it's ceiling tiles, so it's not like we have to break up drywall or anything, and then mod them and see how long it takes, because we'd be paying for the labor.
Supervisor Rose was next.
Have you thought about talking to the owner's representative? See what his input?
Yes. Yeah, they've attempted that. I didn't do it, Supervisor Rose. That's facilities is handling that, and Ray. But they have had conversations, I guess, and communication.
And he didn't have any records either?
No.
That was Rudy Ferraro?
Yes.
I'm surprised he doesn't have any records.
You hear the violations, I guess.
Who was
Rudy Ferraro?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the architect,
I think that was his last one.
The architect, we met with the architects, but they are no longer in business.
Who is that?
You know,
build them and leave.
Or something, and they were squat out, and they're still AG, but they're no resemblance at all to the company, or no one's there. I guess one's in a nursing home, and one's very, very ill. So everywhere we went.
And who's the contractor?
C.G. Schmidt.
I said.
What was his name?
C.G. Schmidt.
Supervisor, or anything?
I guess the first thing that jumps out at me, I'm assuming, and I'm only assuming that you say that we don't have structural records for when this was done correct. You don't have a record of when they installed the drywall with the screws in it, correct?
No, we have not been able to nail that.
That's fine, because basically, guys, what we're looking at here, and this would be my recommendation, but basically what you're looking at is that you're going to take all of the panels out in the entire Brookside, and you're going to repair unless I'm not overthinking the situation. Basically, you're talking about, because you'll never be able to figure out what screw is muddy and what's not muddy, you're basically going to have to repair the entire ceiling areas of Brookside Care Center. So that's probably the estimate that we're going to need.
Our estimate. Yeah. That's what we're planning on doing.
So I guess I'd be interested to know, has it always been that, you know, and Attorney Rose and Attorney Salisbury, I mean, has it always, that'd be something I'd be interested in knowing later on. Okay, because when we put it in, was it within code back in whatever that we were able to use screws without being muddy? Versus maybe something, there's been an update to the code based on different incidents that may have occurred in the past years, you know, because I guess that's what I'm looking for. I mean, you're saying, Supervisor Kubicki, if these screws are not mudded, that the ceiling could fall down?
Under heat conditions, yes.
Okay. He's a fireman.
So that's the only thing.
That'd be a lot of heat.
I don't want no heat there, believe me, only when the furnace is on. But that being said, that's why I said what I did.
Yeah, okay.
He has a good point. Have you researched what the code was back?
Yes.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Were you all in code back then?
It's kind of like, in all honesty, it's kind of like trying to nail jello to the wall to figure out, because the codes, and Supervisor Kubicki can attest to this for sure. The NFPA codes change, and the year they were built, and
right.
What was Brookside built?
What about the city? Wouldn't the city have the city approved?
Yeah.
You know, they have to give you approval for occupancy.
What we can ascertain, and it's not written in stone, that it should have been mudded, double mudded, called it. I asked him if he was going to use a micrometer to determine the thickness. I mean, how do you know when something's double mudded unless you're standing there watching? But we think, from what our consultant says, what our engineer says, we think it should have been double mudded. And in discussion with my colleagues throughout the state, people who have buildings, you know, who are, you know, not brand new, there, these sites have been coming up.
You appealed that, though.
You did appeal.
And did you prevail?
Yes. Because he cited it under the wrong code.
Is it
under the right code, it's still a violation, or it's not? It's
yes.
And I'm not trying to dance around it or anything. I'm just saying, if there's areas in the building where it's not going to be heated, you know, does the code change? Or is it like that for the entire thing?
Hopefully.
Because I'd be interested to know what the Occupational Safety Hazard Association says about it, if they have any jurisdiction over it. I mean, it doesn't seem like we haven't had any incidents of the ceiling caving in, so...
We're a fully sprinkled facility. Yeah. We're way beyond what's the minimum safety requirements.
Right.
And OSHA does not have any jurisdiction over us. We're doing what we really think, and we all agree that we should get this done, even though we haven't been cited again because it was the wrong code. But we want to make it right, so... That's what we're
going to
do.
And that is one last thing. You know, I would be interested to see what double mudded versus single mudded versus any mudded at all looks like. I mean, I have a degree in industrial engineering. I don't even know what, I've never heard of that, double mudded. I'd be interested to see what does that look like and how would you know to cite that code. So thank you.
Supervisor.
Single mudded over a screw hole, you'll have a dimple.
Okay.
Double mudded, you'll have it smooth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I think just to play off that last question, then, why is it then that in the past, whenever there were inspections, none of this was ever found? Is this something of a new animal that they're looking for, or has it always been a violation dating back to construction and only now for the first time somebody looks behind a ceiling tile?
Thank you. That's where I'm going with.
Well, this is the first time an engineer has ever looked above the ceiling in those areas. We always, in fact, 3 days before he got here, I was up above all of those ceiling tiles at the fire, in the fire compartments, where our fire compartments are, because that's the smoke compartments is where it's really necessary for very good seals and no penetrations, etc. And so we're just checking, because, you know, buildings settle, tape can get cracked, and, you know, you got to repair that stuff. It's part of general maintenance. So we were looking to make sure, but Pete pulls one out in the middle of the hallway somewhere, and we have never, I've been doing this for 28 years, maybe 29, I've never seen an engineer do this. But he's a hospital engineer. They have totally different codes. And a lot of the sites that we appealed and we prevailed was because he was citing the wrong codes. He's get mixed up, and hospitals have to do this, and nursing homes have to do that.
But this was never brought up previously on an earlier inspection?
None of the sites he gave us were. Hmm. We had to put a sprinkler outside underneath the rafter. None of them were.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Supervisor Gantz and Supervisor O'Day.
I guess what I'd like to see is you bring back to the next committee, whatever the makeup is of that committee, a report on this. When you do your quarterly number census and stuff, I think it's worth the committee viewing. You know, seeing what these citations are and that they're being handled. And it's not that I don't doubt that you're going to work on them, you know, and get them done. I just like to know what's going on. I would think the committee would like to know what's going on to make sure that they're, you know, on joint services, you know, the regulations, the codes, etc., change all the time, and we really need to, you know, we need to stay in compliance. And you know, I think that's something. Not that we want to micromanage it, but I'd like to see what they are, what the estimates are, what the timetable is. Just a small brief report on that.
I can do that. It will only be that one area because everything else has been corrected.
Okay.
When you get cited by the state, you have to give them an official plan of correction and when we're going to have it done by. And we have it all done. You know, like some of the stuff we have done that day.
So the only thing is the mudding?
The only thing the right screws? Now is the attic.
The doors and stuff.
The attic.
The doors. Okay.
That's the only thing that's outstanding.
Okay, the doors and then the screws that you know are going to be coming.
Right. I can bring those back. Everything else.
Are we sure that engineer's coming back?
I'm
not making any suggestions since we're being taped.
We have a new engineer because, see, a bunch of the engineers retired after Act 10. Excuse me. And so that's where we got the feeling. So they did hire a new engineer, and I guess the engineer, I haven't met him, but I guess he's from Kenosha and has a connection to Kenosha.
Okay.
Must have read the next chapter. The other ones didn't read.
Just updated.
And Ray did go to the Public Works Committee last night.
Supervisor Davis next. Supervisor O'Day.
I think in our, when we were at the Brookside trustee meetings, it was in changing the inspectors, the old inspector had a liking for Brookside for whatever reasons, and he was a more lenient inspector and kind of let that thing slide. He knew about it, apparently, but he didn't make a deal out of it. He didn't put it right down. The new inspector comes along after this guy retires, and he goes more by the book, and he wrote it out. And it's something that existed from day one. But for some reason, took a different view of it. Let it slide. But it is something we're going to have to address. And Ray did bring it to the Public Works meeting the other night and kind of laid out a future plan on it. Because it's going to be involved when you go in there and do it in stages to move people around and that kind of stuff. That's down the road a ways.
My recollection of the project back when it was built, you said that the inspector said 17 was the least that he had found, and if I recall, the builder and the architect we had seemed to be on top of pretty much everything. So it surprises me that was code back then. Actually, that's why I thought David might have been on the right track, but I would have guessed that at that time it wasn't code, but they just seemed to be really on top of everything in my recollection. In fact, I remember once they felt we didn't even need a owner's rep because the structure was pretty much regulated by state and city code. Who is next? Somebody else have a question? Supervisor?
Yeah, I just want to thank the director for coming in and keeping us abreast of what's going on there. And thanks for keeping it a 5+ star facility for us in this community. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no other questions, we'll go to the next item. We actually have a request, though, that you would bring back something. I assume you're going to bring something to the Building and Grounds Public Works Committee and possibly a report to us as well.
I have notes that I'll bring something, an update back at the quarterly update.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Drug court, presentation on the drug court. Thank you. Hi.
My name is Stephanie Carls. I am the drug court coordinator. I've been with the drug court for a little over a year now. This is my first time meeting with all of you, and I thank you for having me for a little brief update on what's going on with our drug court. I'm handing around the brochure. You might already have one, but this is a new one. It's updated. One minor change is that my information's on the back now. If you have any questions or anything that maybe I can't answer today, contact me and I can answer at a later date or if we run out of time. Another really major change that we made was in the first paragraph where it's a definition about drug court. It originally said substance abuse offenders, substance abuse offenders. Really, it's for dependent. The people that we treat they have to be dependent for us to take them into drug court, not just a recreational user or abuser, as you would call them, but actually dependent on a substance. So that was a very major thing that we had to change in the language. And then also the whole section of phases has been changed. As a team, we decided to change our phases, the length of time in the phases, because we're having a lot of problems. The first phase was much too short. People were new into the program. We had a lot of people relapsing around the time where they were supposed to phase into the next phase. So now they have more time to get stabilized. And it works much better. And also our last phase where the people need much less supervision, the phase was originally way too long. There was too heavy a supervision for how well they were doing to get up to that phase. So basically the months just kind of flip-flop. It's longer in the beginning and it tapers off towards the end. It's still 18 months at least for our program, which is something else we always try to remind people that it's not a quick program. It's not something that you want to rush. We want our people to have enough time to get where they need to be. So that's pretty much it for the updates to the brochure. Currently, we have 17 people in our drug court, but I'm more about the actual people rather than just numbers. I want to talk a little bit about the progress that our people are making, not just our numbers, but the progress that these people are actually doing. We currently have 3 people in phase 4. Which is the very last phase that's expected to graduate by this fall, which is exciting. I don't want to jinx them, but I would say that these 3 people will definitely graduate. So hopefully we'll be able to invite some people to graduations in fall. One of them is working full-time and going to school full-time. He's very, very busy, and that's in addition to all the other requirements of drug court. He's still going to treatment. He's still going to community support groups. He's still doing random testing, all these kinds of things. He's managing work full-time and school full-time in Illinois. So he's also having to rush back here after class, after work, to do all the things that he's needing to do. We have another one who's working full-time, and he's finally being a good father to his children. He's helping out a lot at home. He has 3 small children at home, and he feels like he's finally a father to them now that he's not on drugs. We have another one who's working part-time and also caring for her twin grandbabies. Interesting story about her was the day that we accepted her into drug court. She was in custody. She came into drug court. We were releasing her. As she was being released, her daughter was going into labor. She was able to be there for her daughter. She was there when the children were born, and she has been sober since the day they were born. Even before that, she was in custody. So that's kind of our success of our phase four people. Like I said, hopefully they will all be graduating this fall. And also 2 of the 3 have been violation-free through the whole program, which is amazing. They've been in over a year, and they have not had a single violation that we know of. We have 5 people in phase 3. 4 of them are employed full-time or have 2 part-time jobs, which is pretty amazing in our economy. A lot of them struggled to get their jobs, but now that they have them, they're working hard. 2 of them are also going to school as well. The one that is not employed has been in the W-2 program since October, so that's a great thing for our people in phase 3. They still have a lot of requirements in our drug court program and things that they're required to do in addition to the things that they're doing to make their lives better. 3 of them should be graduating by the end of the year, as long as they remain on track. So we're talking about 6 graduations by the end of the year, which is pretty exciting for our statistics. We have 3 people in phase 2. One of them is working on going to school. He just took a placement test yesterday for Parkside, and he thinks it went well, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. The other one's working on getting his SSI, and both 2 of them have been really struggling with their sobriety, but they're hanging in there. We're hoping to get them moved up soon. One of the three is going to school, working part-time, and also taking care of his children while his wife works during the day, which is amazing. He's another one who finally feels like he's contributing to his family. We have six in phase one, five of which have been in the program for less than a month, which kind of brings me to the next part that I want to talk about is we're trying to work on getting our numbers up. Our numbers aren't really where we want them to be. In the past, we've had some issues getting people into the drug court. A lot of people were requesting to be in and being denied. Since I've started, I actually had a meeting with the public defender's office and kind of asked them to come back to us to keep trying and to keep referring people that we're really working on getting our numbers up. It's my goal to get our capacity up to the 22, which is really what our maximum capacity is, where we're at right now. 25, you know, could be pushing it. I think any more than that, we would run out of time. We would have to start worrying about our financial constraints. But to go over that number would pretty much require more from all the members on the team who already have other jobs other than being a part of drug court, and particularly the judge. You know, his schedule's kind of made for him. He's pretty busy, so we any more than 25, I think we would have to be looking at another team and another judge. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work. Studies show that to ensure success of a participant, the judge has spent 3 minutes with each person when they come up to the stand to talk to the judge. So at our maximum capacity, we're already talking about the hour and a half that we have with the judge in the courtroom. And trying going overtime, especially when you're talking about people that are new coming in to be sentenced. You know, those of you that know sentencing can take a long time. And then sometimes when we have somebody that we need to sanction in court, you know, it would take more than 3 minutes most likely to figure out what we're going to do with somebody who's been violating. So our numbers are not where we want them to be, but we're getting back on track. We have 17. We have three assessments scheduled in the next 2 weeks. So if those three get in, we'll be up to 20, which is really great. And I think the only other thing I wanted to talk briefly about is a new issue that drug court's dealing with, which is the drug, or synthetic drug, called K2 and Spice. They're becoming more and more popular, more and more prevalent. The problem with K2 and Spice is that it's a new drug. It's a designer drug. What it is it's very hard to test for because the formulations are never the same. Because it's a bunch of chemicals, and I could go on all day about that. But basically, it's very hard to track. Users know that. They know that, you know, depending on what kind they get, they could get away with it. For us, testing is expensive, but it is something that we're willing to start spending. But the problem is sometimes we might get a test and it won't work right because the formulations are also different. So it's something that we're working on, and we have been testing, particularly a few participants who have indicated that they've used it. So they know that we're able to test them. So with the fear that they know that they could get tested for, we're hoping that that kind of brings down the use of it. But what's unfortunate about drug testing rules, by the time they figure out how to test for this drug, there'll be something else out there that they need to figure out a test for, but point. It is something we're looking for. Yeah.
Have a point of orders?
Yes.
K2 mm-hmm. and Spice, mm-hmm. Is it needle? Or do they
snort? It's generally smoked.
They smoke.
Yeah, it's very similar to marijuana.
Okay.
In the way that, and a lot of, we've had people mixing it with the marijuana.
Okay.
But it's generally, it's called like an incense. It's, yeah.
Kenosha Unified Schools is aware of it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's pretty, I would hope so. If not, it might be something that because I mean, it's something that is available online.
Really?
There are websites online that you can buy it online. There's a lot of gas stations, that's where we know our clients have gotten some from.
Not illegal. Not now.
K2 and Spice, okay.
There is legislation to
is it?
Outlaw that I, it's not passed yet, I don't think.
Okay. Thank
not
you.
Here.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. I wanted to know.
That was my last point, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how the children are. Are you seeing it in just children, adults, everyone?
Oh, adults so far. I'm not sure if adults have the kids in it or not, too, but.
Now you said you have three people coming in, and if they make it in, what would prevent them from not making it in? What type of
Well, they go through an assessment. Basically, the assessment will determine, are they abusing drugs or are they dependent? That's a major one. If they've come through and they're signed up for an assessment, they've already passed the district attorney. The district attorney has already okayed them to come to the next point. So the next point is assessment, and that's whether they would be appropriate for the program or not.
Are you taking people with felonies?
Yes.
You know, just to mention, you said you met with the public defender's office, and I know you did with the private bar. And I think I'd encourage you to do that again. It's so overlooked.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was thinking. It was a few weeks ago that I met with the public defender's office, so I need to contact
them. Did you find that they were very supportive?
I think they were hesitant at first, but I let them know that there's a little, we've tweaked the procedure a little bit now, mm-hmm. So that instead of it just going to the district attorney, that when they refer, they CC myself, so then I can go back to staffing and say, okay, I've heard about this person, what do you think? And they're, so then things aren't getting pushed under the rug. Accountability.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Harrington.
What's your maximum capacity of people you can have on the floor?
I would say about 25. This is really the max of what we can handle at this point. Just because of the time constraints and just... our probation agent, everybody that works with these people, filling up their schedules is...
I think that it would be worth our while, guys. If you could email me, I'd like to come to a graduation. I think it's more than in order to congratulate these people for completing the process. I think it would be good for the county board to be there because I support these kinds of initiatives to help people to get off of these substance abuse problems. So I definitely would like to know when you are going to have your graduation so that I can be there.
Yep. Maybe you could send it to everybody on the committee.
All of us. The chairman, Marlon, you know, he would want to go. Several others would be interested in going too.
We'd love to have you.
Supervisor Kent.
Okay. Refresh my memory because it's not what it used to be. When did we start this drug court?
2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What have been the numbers since then? I mean, have we ever been up to max?
I think we've had it up in the lower 20s.
We have.
Been up to 24.
It
varies.
Okay. Obviously, but I just wonder what the.
Yeah, you know it's. That's a real interesting question that we discuss a lot. What is the capacity? Because it's a simple question, a logical question. But when we started this, we were very aware of the financial situation being very austere in the county. And one of the things that we didn't mention yet is that all of this is paid for under a federal grant that we received. So there's really no cost to us. There is, if you talk to public defenders, they will tell you they have a lot of people that they would like to get into drug court. The advantage to the county is this is meant as a diversion program to keep people out of the detention center and jail. But you're very looking for a very specific kind of a person, somebody who wants to address their addiction. There is a sort of a common belief that drug court is hug court, that is soft on crime, but yet, when you talk to our participants, and maybe you can when we go to graduation, they'll tell you that, you know, they are taking 3 urine drops a week. Sometimes if they mess up, they need to go to therapy plus support groups. Sometimes what they call a 30-30, they have to go to 30 groups in 30 days. So it can be very rigorous, you know, and again, as Stephanie mentioned, in those first couple of phases, you're up in front of the judge, you know, 10 feet away, sort of, and with evidence of whether or not you've been using drugs or not.
How long does that grant run?
We're in the middle of it right now.
It was 3 years, we're at a year and a half.
Okay.
And as to get back to the point, at about 95% of the capacity of the grant. So, you know, we're getting close.
Is what do you do as a coordinator? Briefly.
A little bit of everything. I'm kind of the organizer, the one that gets meetings ready, the one that gets ready for staffings and policy and procedure, and tweak the brochure. I didn't make it because it was made before I started, but just kind of keeping up on everything. And then I also, I check up on our participants, making sure they're going to the lab to do weighs and get the bus passes. I'm kind of the errand, I don't want to say errand girl because that sounds... I do a lot more than that, but kind of a lot about it, odds and ends, really. I keep the files.
So basically, with these phases, you just switch the amount of time?
Just the amount of time.
The bottom ones were the 5 and 6 months, and you just switch the amount of time?
Yeah, we just kind of flip-flopped it. Yeah. Like the first phase used to only be 3 months, second phase used to be 4, so we just kind of flopped it around, realizing that 6 months at the end was a long time for the people. And by the time they're in phase 4, they're really doing well. If they get to that point, that's the thing I think.
That concludes my questions. Supervisor Decker.
How many graduates?
2 so far.
And are they doing okay now still?
Yep. Neither of them have violated. They haven't been arrested. One actually comes back for graduations. Just to see how everything is going. He's thinking of being part of what we call a peer mentor group. Once we get enough people graduating, I mean, right now we just have 2, and once we get enough people together, then they'll start a group that people can go to, and it'll kind of be like their own little community of helping each other. So
now, is it 2 because the program's so new, or do you have people that can't make it?
It is new, and it is 18 months.
Right.
And we've been running for just about 18 months. So, the people that started at the beginning of Drug Corps, I think we maybe had 6 to 8 people when it first started. That's before my time.
The key is really getting people through those first 2 phases, because the commitment is very high, I mean, to go through. So that's pretty much what we expected. The other guys, Baker, is doing
good.
It's just wonderful. Younger guy, maybe one of the things we'd like to do sometimes when we come back, show you the arrest picture and then the graduation picture.
There's some on there. Those aren't our people.
Oh. Okay, so there you have it. One of the things that I've learned in this, these people have started using drugs at like 12 or 13.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. And when you use drugs at 12 or 13, it really retards the development of the front of the brain. It really changes the brain chemistry. And so, you know, people think it's, you know, a matter of self-will to stop it. That's part of it, and that's certainly important. But you have to have structure and support. And one of the things to see, and I think Judge Milosowski is a perfect judge for this, because he really gives that nice blend of support and sanction. You know, the smile these people have when they get a candy bar for having a good week is amazing. There were times when I'm a little bit before Stephanie. Stephanie's the reason why I don't get to sit in the chair and my name's been taken off the back of the pamphlet. Where, you know, really, from week to week, 70% of the folks would be clean. Now, as people progress through, I think our average is more like 90, 95. So you got to hold people in, and when they mess up, which is expected for an addiction. You know, our treatment of addiction isn't, you don't turn it on and off like a switch. Most people, studies show, take 4 attempts at sobriety before they finally get it. So very much a process. You have to have that supportive but firm hand. And I think the judge has the standard.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank
and
you
if you do
much.
Have any questions, feel free to contact me. Email or call.
Any other business authorized by law? Mm-hmm. And we'll have committee members' comments. I guess we any comments from committee members?
Congratulations to supervisors that are returning on your campaigns.
Supervisor Gens?
I would like to thank you for chairing us, and I think the committee did a really good job these last couple of years. We paid attention and move forward in a lot of positive areas. So I think this was a good committee. So I don't think we're going to meet again. So just like to say,
should be the last one.
Well, what's so funny, Terry? Why do you got to? Why do you got to do that?
Motion to adjourn.
I'm not done yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Can we speed and meet again? I just didn't know you were going to have that space.
Jeez,
that here. Sad.
I haven't seen
Look over and see.